Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio on this, the 7th day of June, 2021. I'm your host, Rick McCann. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization. We're extremely happy that you are here and that you're listening to us, whether you are listening on demand at iHeart Radio Network or the Amazon Radio Network or here on our own platform, wherever it might be. We're now available streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week across many platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, radio shows, or music. On today's program, we have a very special topic that we want to talk about, and it's special because it's often overlooked, and we want to begin calling more attention to the bouncer / nightclub security profession. And today and again next week in part two, we will highlight the pros and cons of this part of the security industry. Along with this topic, on today's radio show, we've got plenty of news to bring you. We're also going to be talking about how we're going to incentivize both members and non-members to get more involved with the private officer organization. And we're talking as well about upcoming events, including our brand new Frontline Protectors platform, the upcoming Private Police Academy debut, and so much more in this early part of June. Now, believe it or not, we have already surpassed almost half of the year. It won't be but a few more weeks, and we'll be at that halfway point. We've already done a lot of things in the first 5 months of 2021, but the remaining 6 months, we've got a ton of things coming out. We're again going to have our private officer memorial ceremonies, which we weren't able to last year because of COVID. We're going to have a brand new Armor College platform. We're going to have a brand new network of instructors, a brand new frontline media platform, and so much more. So there's a ton of things to be looking for. If you're not already a member of Private Officer International, I want to encourage you to go to our website anytime, day or night, 24/7 at privateofficer.org. And our organization are not just contract security officers. Members come from federal law enforcement, local law enforcement, regulatory agencies, bouncers, bail enforcement, bail bonds, private security, police, private police, and it runs the gamut. We even have some vendors that sell various law enforcement and security equipment who are part of the network. Be sure to go to our website and check it out. We offer more than 50 member benefits, including a death benefit should something happen tragically to you while you're on the job. We also have free and discounted training and so much more. Check us out at privateofficer.org. Also on the show today, we're going to recognize a couple of people for a job certainly well done. We talked about last week a gentleman who worked in Northern Virginia at a high school as a campus security officer for 42 years. He said you got to show up to make a difference, and I echo that every day. You got to be there. You got to show up. That's why I'm so involved in all of the various companies, businesses, and activities that I have been doing for many years. To make a difference, you got to show up. You got to be there. And I want to preach that the rest of my life, and I hope that you are picking up what I'm putting down, if you know what I mean. Also on the radio show today, we're going to kind of recap our mental health emergencies. We've been talking about that for 3 weeks. We're not done with it. You'll be hearing a lot more about that. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about this trip that we're taking westbound and how you can get involved. We're going way out to Montana, something that we do on a regular basis, but we're going to have some stops in between. We'll be telling you more about that right after the first break. Here at the Private Officer Beat Radio Show, we want to keep things moving. We want to keep things alive. We want to keep things rolling and topics fresh. So we invite you to send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to hear a certain subject that we haven't covered, if you want to be involved, maybe you even want to be part of the show, be interviewed, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And we will get with you and get that going for you. We also want to let you know that here at Private Officer International, we're not just a U.S. organization. We have members in many countries. And if you're listening someplace other than the United States, you can join. There's no problem. And if you don't speak English, if you only speak Spanish, we have Spanish interpreters, Portuguese interpreters, Italian, and a number of other languages as well. So contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We are going to take a quick break, but we're coming right back. Like I said, we've got a whole array on our agenda today, and we want to get that to you as quickly as possible. Coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
I met Luke when I was pretty much born. We kind of just grew up together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving. I was in the passenger seat, and all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
College, a public safety institute. We train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We'll even bring the school to you.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the sodas.
Don't forget the life jackets.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
And welcome back to Private Ops for Beat Radio. We're talking today specifically the topic. We normally have a topic of interest or training in each of our radio shows. And today's topic that we're talking about is nightclub security slash bouncer slash problems. We're going to get into that in a little bit. I do want to tell you about a shooting coming out of Minneapolis. Of course, the city made famous in the last couple of years because of an officer-involved death that caused riots across the country and a change of movement by activists. Winston Boogie Smith Jr., 32, was killed on Thursday by the U.S. federal marshals. They were trying to arrest him in Minneapolis on felony warrants when they say he shot out the window of his vehicle toward police officers. There was evidence after the shooting of him having a gun and firing it at law enforcement, as they stated. Now, Smith had already racked up more than 20 arrests on charges ranging from everything from minor traffic violations to drug charges. In 2017, he was convicted again of aggravated robbery. He was given a 3-year stayed sentence. That means no prison, and instead put on probation. According to the U.S. Marshals, he began firing at them, and they had no choice but to return fire. Of course, Minneapolis, the scene of that death where police were accused of having a knee on the neck of a suspect, and this shooting here touched off another riot. So they are in continual riot mode there in Minneapolis and now in other parts of the country. For the last 7 to 10 years, it does not take much to really kick off riots, violence. People don't need a reason anymore to attack, to shoot at you, whether you are police or security. I'm telling you this again because we've had security and private police and contracted federal security killed in the last few years because people saw a uniform. They didn't care if he was a police officer. They didn't care if he was a security officer. They didn't care if he was a janitor. They saw a uniform and they began to shoot. This is alarming. I want you to be aware that even though riots are not in the headlines daily like they were for a couple of years, they are not gone. We have violence throughout many cities on a nightly basis still. Look at what's happening in Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, and other parts of our country. Be careful. Don't take for granted. We're going to stay on top of this story and other developing violent situations happening across the country. Let me tell you about another very interesting situation happening along the Gulf Coast, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and now the FBI says other states. A group that appears to be working together has hit at least 7 Walmarts, possibly more, with fires. They have walked into the Walmart store out of the blue, in some cases using some type of gas, liquid, maybe butane, something that accelerated the fires. They went in and just began soaking merchandise. In one store it was clothes, and another store it was a pile of copy paper and began burning it. Now the FBI is involved. They're offering a reward because now this is an interstate crime. Multiple misdemeanor and felony charges could be placed. Listen to this article from this morning's news headlines. After listening to this horrific situation, you will understand that there is no going back. Since the riots, not just of last 2 years, but really in the last 8 to 10 years, people believe they can riot for anything. Don't give them a discount on a product. Give them what they consider to be poor service. Look at them the wrong way, and you have a complete riot on your hand. And people want to join in. It doesn't matter if they believe in your goal, mission, or reason. They're going to join in anyways. And it's not just one minority or the other. Now, many, many different minorities, people with different views, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter, legal or illegal immigrants, everyone has joined in and become part of the marches, the riots, the destruction. They all have reasons. They're not good ones, but they have reasons to be involved in these riots. Take a listen, because I want you to understand really what's happening in America today. And when we get done here, go and check out the headlines in Minneapolis again. Check out what's happening around the country with attacks on police. Just this week, 9, 10, 11, 12, nope, 14 police officers attacked, shot, beaten. In one situation, a California State College police officer was surrounded by a group, pummeled to the ground, his body camera and keys taken from him before backup could arrive. A police officer in Detroit, just standing out by his patrol car having a cup of coffee, all of a sudden attacked, brutally punched in the head and assaulted. Again, suspects escaping. This country is in a world of hurt and some serious situations, because I'm telling you, cops don't want the job. People don't want it. Listen to the Walmart story. We'll be back here in a moment.
Fire at another Coast Walmart may be arson, and police have descriptions of suspects. Arson is suspected in another fire at a Walmart supercenter on the coast, this time at the store on CT Switzer Road in Biloxi, a police press release said. Police responded to a call about the fire at 9:31 p.m. Friday. Witnesses gave police a description of the suspect as a white female in a mask with a white hat, dark-colored sweatshirt, dark pants, and white athletic shoes. The woman is accused of setting fire to a box of copy paper in the electronics department. When she left the store, she headed east on foot toward Walmart Lane, police said, and may have gotten into a waiting car. Biloxi police said the man who was with the suspect also was white and wore a tan hat, dark t-shirt, dark pants, and dark shoes. Arson also is suspected in two other fires at the Walmart Supercenter on US 49 in Gulfport on Friday afternoon, Gulfport Fire Chief Mike Bearstedt said. The Gulfport stores evacuated shoppers and employees during the fires. No injuries were reported. In the past week, other fires were set at two Walmarts in Mobile, Alabama, along with additional fires reported at other stores across the country. On Saturday, authorities said the multi-state fires are now believed to be related.
When you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is. and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
We are back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, coming out of San Diego here at the news desk today. This is just completely tragic. Two police officers, husband and wife, Jamie Huntley Park and Ryan Park, were involved in an on-duty accident and both killed. The couple died after their vehicle was hit by a driver that was going the wrong way down I-5 near the U.S.-Mexico border, according to a statement from police. Huntley Park, 33 years old, was a successful hockey player, a hockey referee coach, and even had refereed the Olympic trial games. He was remarkable. The wife also working for the same agency. The two met in police academy in April of 2012 and got married in 2016. According to the press release, they loved being police officers, serving the city, protecting the public. And this is just so, so tragic. Police in Detroit, Michigan, now investigating after the public made some videos public to them. According to Detroit police, some nightclub security officers beat down a young man and a female, knocking her head against a light pole outside of the level 2 bar and rooftop in the Greektown community of Detroit. Now, they were both intoxicated and had been asked to leave. It seems like the male, a white male, got into the face of the larger, much larger black bouncer, aka security guard, and he gave him a beatdown. And now police are looking into charges. And that's one of the reasons why we're discussing in today's topic about bouncers and nightclubs and situations that occur with them, because it really is getting really out of hand. Lack of licensing and training, and we're going to be, don't get me started, we will be talking more about this in the training segment, in the topic segment, but it's just out of hand. Also in the news, police say that an Indiana man has been charged with strangulation of a police officer as he attempted to escape custody. Police charged Jackson Hatchett, 27, of Brownstown, Indiana. Coming out of, this was actually just kind of a funny yet serious story. Coming out of El Paso, Texas this past week, Casey Garcia, 30, was arrested after she posed as her teenage daughter entered the San Elizario Independent School campus and posed as the student, as her daughter, even went to lunch in the cafeteria before anyone even questioned her identity. Now, Ms. Garcia, who is 4 feet 11 inches and just weighs 105 pounds, easily passed as a teenager, although she says she's no spring chicken. Well, she was testing the security. She said she was very concerned about the lax security. We've seen this type of thing before, actually. But police didn't take it too kindly and charged her with trespassing and interfering with school. And we're going to follow this, but, you know, with all of the defund the police and the anti-police rhetoric and all of the other things happening, you can understand why parents might be a little concerned about school safety and security. We are constantly monitoring the news and constantly looking at what's happening in our country. For instance, in Sacramento, a policy has come out from the Sacramento police and from the mayor's office to appease a group of citizens who really just don't like the police, is what it boils down to. Sacramento has passed a policy that will ensure demoralizing the police even further. The new policy has to do with the use of force. Make no mistake, this is not a do it if you want to or if you can. The new policy says that before any deadly force can be used, you must attempt de-escalation. Now, cops usually arrive at use of deadly force in two ways. One is to exhaust an escalating series of compliance steps. They're not responding to negotiations. They're not responding to verbal commands. They're not responding to less lethal, such as physical control, taser, pepper spray. Then you have that second scenario where it's an immediate situation. You blink and it's going to be too late. So a person pulls a shiny metal object, something that looks like a knife, a gun, some weapon, or bullets start flying toward you, and you have to immediately escalate to gunshots, to lethal force. There's no time to de-escalate. There's no time to talk about this. Hey, buddy, put that gun down while he is emptying his gun and reloading. You're trying to de-escalate. Well, that's what Sacramento is telling their officers to do. They don't care what the situation is. They don't care that your life is on the line or that of the public, because now, ultimately, the city's new policy says you've got to de-escalate in every situation before using lethal force. This policy is public. You can read it online. Here's an interesting story also that I read this week. In the last 18 months, 76 school systems or individual schools have kicked school police to the curb. But during the last 5 months, 17 schools have already brought police back, and numerous others are negotiating with police agencies to rehire school resource officers. And during the interim of losing police, a number of schools had already brought back security officers to fill the position of the law enforcement that they kicked to the curb. Well, now violence, fights, weapons on campus are an everyday thing. So they are bringing back law enforcement. And there's no surprise. Is there a surprise? Nah, not really. I mean, what did they really think was going to happen? And the same is going to happen as they turn over traffic stops to unarmed untrained civilians. I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous, but actually some cities are already putting this in place. In Washington, D.C., the National Zoo police are so understaffed that the union head is asking the zoo to close down. They were closed down for weeks. In fact, for 6 months, the National Zoo was shut down during the pandemic. But now the union representing the police force says, look, we are short of officers. Our police force is dangerously understaffed. We only have really 8 full-time sworn officers now on the staff that used to have 50. The zoo does supplement their federal law enforcement with security officers who are special police in D.C. The zoo recently completed a $1.5 million project to upgrade the security fencing and other security needs around the zoo. There have been numerous incidents, shootings, stabbings, major fights with injuries around the zoo and in the zoo over the years. And that's why police are concerned. I've been there. I really understand out of their abundance of caution, but I don't believe that the zoo is in quite the situation that the union head wants them to believe. Coming out of Salt Lake City, a man, Daniel Aaron Vanador, 28, has been arrested after pulling a knife and threatening to injure 4 security officers at the Temple Square. The suspect was being escorted off the property for trespassing and causing a disturbance when he pulled a knife. Police got there pretty quick and was able to help take him into custody. There have been several line-of-duty police officer deaths. Police officer Emmanuel Familia, 38, died this past week trying to rescue a young teenager who had gone underwater in a small pond. The police officer had only been on the job for 5 years when he also drowned. And it's a really unfortunate situation. Go to our website at www.privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. You'll see stories like this. West Hill High School security officer is hailed as a hero. Stamford, Connecticut, authorities, citizens, and staff at the West Hill High School are saluting security officer Keith Rosedom, who was in the right place at the right time. He was monitoring the lacrosse and baseball games in a back area, keeping an eye on the parking lot when he noticed something happening with a vehicle and a driver frantically trying to stop the car. But it wasn't until he realized that the man was trying to get the car to stop, jump in and get it to stop because it had jumped out of gear when it was parked. The security officer, Rosendahl, jumped into the car and was able to get it stopped as the car was rolling over the owner of the vehicle and dragging him dangerously underneath. Rosendahl, because of his quick thinking, was able to gain control of the vehicle and avoid serious injury of the driver, the owner. But he did have to be transported. Now everyone is saying he's a hero, including us. And Olympia Della Flora is the associate superintendent for the school development with the school district. And we're going to be contacting her next week. That's with the Stamford Public Schools. It's heroes like this that we want to salute. And it happens every day. Unfortunately, it just does not get noted in the media. That's why we're here. That's why we're so in tune with the news every day, and we want you to be informed. Tell your coworkers, tell other security companies, check out the blog, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Go to our news magazine, privateofficernews.org. Hop on our website frequently because we're always adding stuff, privateofficer.org. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got much more to talk about, including what's happening with bouncers and nightclub security these days.
I'm Jason Cameron, licensed contractor and television host, and I want to talk to you about one of my favorite tools, and that's the FLIR One Pro Thermal Imager. That's this little guy right here. You can see how small this is. It's very easy to transport. I just put it in my tool belt or my pocket, and it works with your smartphone, and that's what I've got right here. I've got these two things on me all the time. And whether you have an iOS or an Android, it works with either one. You just have to get the right one. Then you just download the app. Very simple to do. You go online, download the FLIR One app, and you're ready to go. Now, this has the OneFit connector, which I really loved. And what they did on this FLIR One Pro is they have a little dial on it. Now, you can use that dial to actually raise and lower that connector, which is really smart. Because a lot of times on your smartphone, you might have a case on it, which is thicker. So that dial allows you to actually work with the case without having to take the case off. I use this all the time. And in my business, time is money. So when I'm on the job, whether it's my house or a client's house, and I need to check something, if I'm looking for water infiltration or air infiltration, if I'm looking for heating or cooling problems, you can't see those things with the naked eye, but you can see them with thermal imaging. That's why this is so important. I noticed right away when I look at the thermal imager is what they call the MSX technology, which is where they overlay the visual image with the thermal image, which gives you a really crisp picture of what you're looking at. And that's really cool. It's got video and photo capability, and you can document everything that you're doing and have it on your phone. So whether you're a homeowner and you want to make sure that your house is buttoned up, if you have a contractor that comes in and does work and you want to check that work, thermal imager is a great way to do that. I use this all the time. It's actually pretty amazing because I've only had it for a couple months, and it's already paid itself off. It retails for $399. A lot of the things that you can't see with the naked eye, you can see with the FLIR One Pro.
Rockford, Illinois security officer shot Friday night by an outraged nightclub goer. Two killed, two injured after gunfire erupts at downtown Houston nightclub. Loudoun County, Virginia security guard shoots a fleeing vehicle after shots fired at nightclub. Security guard shot at the Tennessee Blow Hookah Lounge and Club. Security guard in critical condition after Tennessee shooting in Nashville. Gun violence breaks out at local nightclub. Man shot and killed at nightclub by security guard in Dallas, Texas. Gun violence on the rise at city nightclubs. Disturbing video shows bar security punching disabled man. Bar security critically injures man who's drunk. Security finds 5.2 grams of cocaine on man trying to enter Texas nightclub. Club security guard survives stabbing incident. Ohio security guards shoot and kill a man pointing a gun at them at nightclub. Incident with Virginia security officer leads to gunshots at nightclub. Security guard arrested after shooting man at a nightclub, and on. These are just the captions from the news over the last 3 weeks, over the last month or year. These incidents continue to happen across the country, and in fact, they have gotten so severe in recent years that many cities and towns have taken it upon themselves to begin cracking down on the nightclub security business, the industry. Unfortunately, nightclubs, restaurants that serve alcohol, adult clubs are like the wild West. In many areas, they go unregulated, part of the security industry, but they're not really considered to be security. It doesn't matter to me if you call them nightclub bouncers, security guards, doormen, or employees, staff. It doesn't matter if they're proprietary or contract. This is a very large national industry that needs some direction. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be some type of training requirement, licensing, and yet in many areas, there's not. Every day, and I mean every day without exception, we see the headlines in our various news feeds of incidents at nightclubs. In many, many nightclubs, you have violence. Alcohol is flowing. There are frequent fights, weapons, even though many nightclubs try to stop those weapons and drugs from flowing in to the business, some using metal detectors, hand pat-downs, many clubs using technology to prevent underage folks from entering. Others use a combination of armed and unarmed, inside and outside. And nightclubs often do a good job at preventing situations from occurring, at de-escalating fights before they get too far out of hand. But think about it. In many club environments, you have free-flowing alcohol. You have people oftentimes packed in like sardines. I've been in these environments. I don't like them. The dance floor is packed, body next to body. Someone bumps into someone else, and all of a sudden you got a confrontation. People today are off the chain. Years ago, and not too many years ago, people would just say, oh, sorry, man, and it would be over with. But unfortunately, in the environment that we're living in, it doesn't take much to incite a fight, a lethal force incident. Like I said, you have alcohol flowing, in some cases drugs, loud music, half-naked people. You have weapons that slide into the club, and there's just so much activity sometimes in these very small environments, very small businesses, that it's almost just not if a fight or a major incident occurs, but when. Security officers or bouncers, it doesn't matter what you want to call them. In fact, some in the security industry don't even include them as part of the security industry, but they are indeed part of the security industry. Being licensed or regulated does not make you part of the security industry, because many areas does not require proprietary security to be licensed. We have situations similar to this in the bounty hunting industry. It is truly the wild, wild west in many areas, even when regulated. We need to put in place restrictions on who gets hired. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with unregulated or proprietary security that doesn't require any licensing, you have felons. You have bad people working in positions of security. Just in the last week, I've seen three different videos of nightclub security beating down unarmed, intoxicated, smaller people that couldn't fight back. You see, when you think of bouncers, you think of these big burly guys. Well, that is the case in many of these situations, but oftentimes nightclubs hire a large amount of people that are unlicensed, have no training, no experience in security or law enforcement, and they're just there to handle whatever comes up, whatever way they decide, whatever way they want, without any oversight whatsoever. You know, business owners, especially at nightclubs and adult clubs, restaurants that serve alcohol, they just want the job done. If you're causing a problem, they just want you out. Many times, extreme force is used. You've seen the old movies and TV shows where the bouncers just grab someone by the seat of their pants and toss them out the door. Well, that's illegal. That's an assault, but it still occurs. Nightclub security, no matter what you want to call it, needs some type of regulation and oversight to prevent some of these incidents from happening. In many states, like I said in the beginning, the towns, the cities themselves are beginning to regulate the security industry for nightclubs. They are seeing the violence. They are seeing the injuries. They are seeing the gunfire. They're seeing all of the situations. In our 17 plus years of having this organization, we have seen at least 50% of the injuries and violence occurring in the security industry being done at nightclubs and adult clubs and restaurants that serve alcohol. What can we do? What should we do? The only time that we have seen nightclub security regulated and licensed are in those states where they have hired contract security officers and it's a regulatory state. Are we just going to sit back, ignore it, like it's not happening? Are we just going to say, oh, well, it's up to the nightclub owner or whatever they want to do. And, you know, maybe they'll give them some training or maybe not. If you are a contract security agency and you contract with these nightclubs, you have to train your personnel much differently than if you were putting them at a truck stop or at a access control point. De-escalation, of course, is a big word these days. And in this environment, even more so. We need to have extreme amount of de-escalation training. Mental health training is a must. We need to have extra use of force training, lethal and non-lethal. When you're dealing with people under the influence of alcohol or narcotics of any type, they're going to respond a lot different than, of course, they would if they were sober. We have to be able to have our people trained in methods where we can de-escalate the situation before it turns violent. There is no doubt whatsoever in my mind. This violence that we're seeing across the board, across the country, at nightclubs, is only going to escalate as more and more people have shorter fuses, are not willing to talk things out, who are quick with their hands and violence. Security officer injuries and deaths continue to increase, as do the number of violence by security officers. Every year, we see dozens and dozens, hundreds actually, of cases of unwarranted, unlawful violence from private security officers. So far this year in 2021, we have had over 30 people killed by private security. Yes, many were legitimate self-defense situations, but others were not. And arrests for murder and manslaughter have been made across the country. In closing, we need to get together as an industry, as business owners, and say, look, it doesn't matter if we're providing security at a balloon, hot air balloon festival, at a car lot, at a restaurant, at a nightclub, wherever it is that we're providing this type of service, we're going to have a standard of training. We're going to have a standard of recruitment and background check. We're going to have an operational standard of how we respond to different situations. And we're not going to put just anyone into situations where they could be exposed to violence if they cannot handle it. You wouldn't put a 90-year-old man at a nightclub that is open and generates their business with the young crowd. That would be suicide. We have to think smart. We have to operate smart, and we have to consider that if we put people in where they can get hurt, not only are we going to be liable, but how are you going to feel about it if something does occur where your employee is seriously, critically injured or killed? Nightclubs, restaurants that serve alcohol, adult clubs, any place that serves alcohol is going to be problematic. It's going to have a higher propensity of violence. We have to be smart about the type of contracts that we do enter into and the type of people that we staff it with. Well, that's going to conclude this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Glad that you have been here. Like always, be blessed, be safe. We'll see you back here on the radio.